Amen. You can tell how good of a day it's going to be in worship with all the different instruments and microphones you see here down front. Welcome to worship at First Baptist Church at Roswell. We are so glad that you have joined us this morning for worship. It is going to be a wonderful day as we celebrate all that God has done in the life of our church. If you are a guest with us here today, we want to extend a special word of welcome to you. We are so glad that you have joined us here for worship. We would ask if you would find the connection card in the pew rack in front of you, fill it out, place it in the offering plate when it comes by, just to give us a record of your attendance, and we'll make contact later this week, let you know how glad we are that you visited. Also want you to know if you're a newcomer, anytime in the last 6 months to a year, really, we will have a newcomer's lunch in just a couple of weeks, 2 weeks from today, directly following worship, a complimentary lunch for you to hear all that is going on in the life of the church and how to get plugged in. You can tell how much is going on in a church by how heavy your bulletin is when you walk in, or how many sheets of paper fall on the ground when you try to open it. There's a lot going on. I'm going to walk you through it on your announcement sheet. All things happening this week, I'm going to start on Saturday and walk back. This coming Saturday is Fall Festival from 3 to 6 p.m., always a great time for young and old. Everyone's invited. We would love to have you here for that, whether you are volunteering or taking part in the festivities. Also, this coming Wednesday night, you'll see this card in your bulletin. 4 new elective classes starting for our adults. If you can only come for these next 5 weeks, if you've never been on a Wednesday, we would love to have you here. Also, activities for our preschool, elementary, youth, and all ages. This coming Tuesday, our SALT group, ages 55 and over, everyone's invited out to Azalea Park for one of our quarterly SALT luncheons. Those are always fun. You can sign up by calling the church office or online. And then today, we have a couple very important things happening in the life of our church. Tonight at 7 p.m. will be our deacon ordination service, a significant special time for us as we ordain new deacons, recognize deacons that are returning to active service. There will be a reception to follow tonight. And finally, last insert that I'll cover, directly following worship, we will be having a special called church conference to vote to affirm the pastor search committee that has been selected and nominated by the nominating committee. So how that will work is, at the end of worship, after the postlude, we'll take just a couple minutes. If you are not staying for that special called conference, you are more than welcome to head out. But if you are, we would love to have you here. You can just stick around. We'll start that conference. Shouldn't take too long, but a good thing for us as we begin the work of finding our next senior pastor. This is that first step of affirming with a vote the pastor search committee. You can see their names and pictures in the insert in your bulletin. And I think that's all I have as far as announcements. Again, we are so glad that you have joined us this morning. Come, let us turn our hearts and minds to God, and let us worship together.
Thank you. sit down. Okay, at this time, if the rest of the children will come up for the children's sermon. Come on, guys. Okay, have a seat. Okay, there you go. I have the children trained well because they know at the last verse of the hymn they're supposed to come down. So when we change things up, it gets a little different. Well, good morning, everybody. I am so glad to see all of you here this morning. So I learned a rhyme when I was a kid, and I bet some of you know it. I'm sure a lot of you know it out there. So if you want to do it with me, if you know this, okay, here's the church. Yeah? You don't have to repeat after me if you don't want to. Here's the church. Here's the steeple. Open the door and see all the people. Close the doors and hear them pray. Open the doors and they all go away. Okay, so today we are talking about the church. And the church is so important because we come here to learn more about God, to learn about how very much God loves us, to sing songs to God. We also come here when we need help. If we're having a hard time, there are so many people out here who are willing to help you. If you have something you want to celebrate, there's all these people who are here to celebrate with you. We have dinner together on Wednesday nights, and we get to know one another and spend time together, and it's like one big family. Now, sometimes we don't always get along, just like in your family, you don't always get along, but we love each other, and we work together, not only to worship God and to share God's love with other people in our community. So we help each other, but we also help others. Now, I love Vacation Bible School. How many of you have ever been to Vacation Bible School? Yeah, a bunch of you have. Okay, some of you are probably going to come this summer. All right, so Vacation Bible School is so much fun, and we have so many people who are here. Now, does Miss Jessica do Vacation Bible School all by herself? No. No, because I cannot be in 8 places at one time. That would be silly, right? I can't be in that many places. It takes a lot of volunteers so that we can have fun and learn about God and just have a wonderful time at Vacation Bible School. It takes a lot of people to make that happen, which is why we have the church, because we can do so much more together than we can by ourselves. So you guys can share God's love with people that you meet, but you can't share God's love with everybody in the world. There's too many people. It would take too long for you to be able to do that. But we can work together and share God's love with lots of other people. And the church as a whole, there are churches around the world that share God's love with people. And so the church is like one big family where we are all together sharing God's love and helping one another. So I hope that you will always remember how very important the church is. Let's pray. Loving God, thank you so much for the church and for all the people here. Lord, we are so grateful that we do not have to do things all by ourselves. We are so thankful that you have sent others to help us and to encourage us, and that we can work together with to share your love with everyone we meet. We love you, Lord. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Hey, sweet girl.
Thank you. This morning, as we come together as a praying church, we pray for Shanna Darnell's family, and we pray for them without ceasing. Would you pray with me? Our dear Heavenly Father, we come to you in times of celebration and in times of needs. For Father, you hear our prayers and you hear our cries and you hear our concerns. We gather here this morning with hearts faced towards you. We thank you for the fellowship of this congregation. We thank you for the fact that we can come and lean on each other and also celebrate your grace and your guidance. And we thank you for the gift of community. We pray for those that are facing challenges and difficult times right now. May you comfort and strengthen them with your grace and your mercy, and use us to be there for them. Let them feel your presence and feel your embrace. We also lift up our world in prayer with all the confusion and all the destruction and all the hate. Father, we need you. We need you now. We need your peace. We need your compassion. And we need your healing. May your wisdom guide all of our leaders. May your love touch all of our hearts and all people here and around the world. Help us learn to work together, to live together, to bring out good for not only us, but for our children and future generation. Lord, as we continue through this service, may our hearts continue to find the message of peace. May we live here today with or leave here today with a renewed sense of purpose and connection to you. For we ask this in your Son's name, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen.
As the body of Christ this morning, we read from the Psalm of David, chapter 103. I'll be reading the first five verses. Praise the Lord, my soul, all my inmost being, praise his holy name. Praise the Lord, my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your sins and heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit and crowns you with love and compassion, who satisfies your desires with good things, so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
I hear. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we came from your presence. We dwell in your presence now. We will depart in your presence, because there are never, it will be a time, or is a time, our place, our circumstance, that you are not with us. We thank you for the presence of who you are, what you can do through your grace and forgiveness, and what you promise to us through purpose, commitment, and dedication of life. We bring our offerings to express the meaning that we give ourselves unto you. For it's in your name we pray. Amen.
Glory, yours is the name above all names. I think every single Sunday I've been here, I stand up to this sacred desk and I say the same thing before I even start preaching, and that is, aren't you glad you showed up to church today? And I do mean that. I mean that. Thank you so much. I don't even know where all to not express gratitude from the moment I pull into the parking lot and the dear one who handles our security and makes sure that I cross the road safely every single Sunday, to the handbells, to the choir, for organ and piano. We're just surrounded with the goodness of being together, because while it sounds like a slogan, it's still true. We are always, always, always better together. We are. And so for the next 3 weeks, I'm going to spend some time focusing on this. Now, let me go on and acknowledge that the world is a hot mess. That didn't start last week. It started east of Eden. The world's been a broken place, and there are many things that we in the believing community need to think about, need to debate about, need to talk about, need to act about. And here specifically, as we think about the last week or so, there's so much. So I'm not tone deaf here, but I hope that in these next 3 weeks of messages, we will also integrate, that is, what is happening in our world globally, but also in our own world locally. Because some of us carry within us all that is broken and fragmented. And so for the next 3 weeks, I'm asking the question, does church matter? Today we're going to talk about it very personally. Does church matter for you, for me? Does it matter? Next week, like concentric circles, we're going to make our way out, and I'll ask the question, does church matter to our neighbors? The compelling question will be, if First Baptist Roswell were to disappear overnight, would the rest of Roswell miss it? Would it matter? And then finally, we'll conclude, does church matter in this world? That is, what is our role and responsibility on a global scale? But today we start small, because let's be honest, if church doesn't matter to us as individuals, then nothing else will matter. So I want to share with you a passage of Scripture from the book of Acts chapter 20. I asked David Warren, did you plan to have young people here leading us in worship in light of today's New Testament text? If you've not read ahead, just listen. You don't need to follow along in your Bibles. You don't need to follow along on the monitors. This story is so engaging, it speaks for itself, or maybe not. Acts chapter 20, verse 7. On the first day of the week when we met to break bread, Paul was holding a discussion with them. Since he intended to leave the next day, he continued speaking until midnight. There were many lamps burning in the room upstairs where we were meeting. A young man named Eutychus, who was sitting on the window, began to sink off into a deep sleep while Paul talked still longer. Overcome by sleep, he fell to the ground three floors below and was picked up dead. But Paul went down and, bending over him, took him in his arms and said, "Do not be alarmed, for the life is still in him." And then Paul went upstairs. After he'd broken bread and eaten, he had continued to converse with them until dawn, and then he left. Meanwhile, they had taken the boy away alive and were not a little comforted. These two are God's words for God's people. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Opening your word now, Lord, we open our minds and hearts and lives that we may receive you fully. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, I guess to start off, I guess church does matter for you. You're here. All right. Well done. We showed up. And by the way, let's not make light of that. It's hard enough some days to just show up. So being present is saying something in its own right. So to continue this conversation and kind of guide us biblically speaking, I've chosen this, I admit, obscure text of Scripture, but it's right there in our Bibles. It's not in Leviticus. It's not in Nehemiah. It's in the Acts of the Apostles, right there in our New Testament. One could say the fifth gospel authored by our gospel writer Luke. This story about a young man, a sermon that went on a little bit too long, and the perils of nodding off in church. Have any of you ever fallen asleep in church? I want you to picture the scene here real quickly. Here in the Scriptures, it's a Sunday evening service. Some of y'all remember Sunday evening services here. And the guest preacher who's invited just doesn't know when to stop. He goes on and on until midnight. And then I love how in Acts, it gives us this added detail. There were many lamps burning. Oh, you can just smell the air. It's stifling with the scent of oil, and it's late into the evening, and Paul talks, and he talks, and he talks. For 4 hours, this guest preacher won't stop talking. Now, I already know that after a half hour, some of you are going to walk out on me. I mean, you're not even going to let me finish there. And then over in the corner, sitting in an open window, is a youth. That's literally how the Greek reads, a youth named Eutychus. Now, his name means good fortune. I don't think he felt very fortunate that Sunday night in worship. In fact, I think his parents made him come to church that night. And Eutychus, he falls asleep, one of those deep, drooling kind of sleeps, and he falls out the window, down 3 sermons to his death. Some sermons, it seems, will kill you. It turns out, though, Eutychus lives up to his name. Paul rushes down, grabs him by the hand. He's alive and well. And get this, did you catch it? Paul eats him a little snack and goes back to preaching until daybreak. Now, I'm happy to report that my resume will reflect I have, to my knowledge, never killed anybody with my preaching. So you're okay. But I have seen more than a few good Christians get a solid nap while I speak. Maybe even in this church, but I'm not going to point fingers here. I remember one Sunday night worship service, the church I was serving as pastor. I'm preaching the sermon or teaching a Bible study. I don't remember. And, you know, let me just tell you about preacher's kids. They have to come to everything at church. Even when no other children are there, they have to come to these things. And one of my children was about 4 years old, and I think I've got a pretty good message here. I'm connecting with the people, and I see my little boy just nod off to sleep. Not a big deal. Slinks into his mom. His head kind of drops back. I watch his mouth open up. It's all good. And I can even hear the faint murmurings of a snore, which became louder and louder and louder. And everybody in the congregation was now looking at my little boy, enjoying themselves to no end because they knew, I know when to say when. We had the hymn of commitment. It was over. Now, let's just go in and get this out of the way. I know that church can be a little dull. Let's just go in and say it. And while I'm convinced that technology probably has exacerbated our declining attention spans, dullness can bespeak irrelevancy. Take note that Eutychus is a youth. It's been pointed out here. And so he's not only young, which puts him kind of on the margins, he literally is sitting in the margins. And I wonder if anybody noticed Eutychus that evening. Did they even know he was up there with them? One can assume that all the leaders of the church are sitting front and center, right? Right there in the middle, hanging on and hanging on to every word that Paul was saying. But youth were seen and not heard, except in Eutychus's case, I'm not even sure he was noticed. And it's not just the age that puts Eutychus on the margins, but it's his location here. Have any of you ever gone missing from church and no one noticed? Maybe work kept you away for too many Sundays, or maybe it was a sickness or some crisis. And when you return, no one asks the question, well, where were you? One of the many tragedies of the pandemic is that many people have gone missing from church and have not made their way back. I think it's worth us asking the question, who's not here? Who has gone missing? Who is sitting off to the side on the ledge of this interim? And this is not just about those who've drifted off to the side, but I think it's also about those that have never made it on the inside in the first place. Many do not see that church matters because it's become disconnected from their needs, from their hurts, from their struggles. We use the term boring to be sure, but it's more than just boredom. It's about not feeling connected anymore. Now, I'm not interested in making church more entertaining. In fact, let me get this out of the way. I'm kind of weary with the entertainment arguments. I've pastored during the worship wars. Here's a news flash: nobody wins. I'm not interested in entertainment, but I am lifelong interested in connecting. I'm concerned about those named Eutychus in our midst who are off to the side, who sit in dangerous places, dozing through all our well-meaning amens. Church matters when we connect. In Matthew 25, Jesus said that I was a stranger and you welcomed me. I was in prison and you visited me. I was sick and you took care of me. I was naked and you clothed me. Jesus said it matters when you connect with others, because when you connect with one another, you are connecting with the holy, with the divine. Eutychus may not have been a stranger, but he was neglected like one. And the reason that church does not matter to so many folks is because sometimes churches look like we're trying to outshout each other with our causes that are no doubt important, but we neglect the relationships. So hear me carefully. Causes are important. But Jesus did not ask to rally us around issues. Jesus said, love one another. I wish I had words of wisdom about Israel and Gaza and Palestinians, situations that go back centuries. I don't. But I do know that regardless of the causes around all of this, if we're not connecting, what does it matter? But that's a global issue, and we'll talk about that in 2 weeks, won't we? The truth is, it's actually a more personal issue. The church does matter when we're invested in the relationships, rooted in the resurrected of the almighty power of God's love. We are transformed not by the causes that compel us, but by the love that redeems us. It matters. It really does. The boredom from an inward gaze here is transformed, is resurrected when we look beyond ourselves and see those sitting to the sides in vulnerable places, forgotten and asleep. We can be, you see, faithful followers of Jesus without the politics. We can. We can be faithful followers of Jesus without the buildings. We can. We can be faithful followers of Jesus without the programs. We can be faithful followers of Jesus, no offense, without the ministers. You don't need me. You don't need this staff to be faithful followers of Jesus. But hear me carefully, we cannot be faithful followers of Jesus by neglecting what it means to be the church. We just can't do it. It matters too greatly in the economy of God's grace. Paul showed us how to be the church when he grabbed the dead hand of Eutychus and a resurrection took place. Church may not have mattered before that nap, but afterwards it was all they were talking about. Church is what God has chosen to be the movement of connection with the world, Church is trusted with passing down from one generation to the next the old, old story. And so church is always going to be made up of little old ladies and messy babies, the tattooed and pierced, the straight-laced and serious, the white-collar professionals, the factory workers, and the loud teenagers. Church includes the messed up and the made up, those who think they know it all and those who don't have a clue. That's church. Early on in the writing of Acts, Jesus' work was over. For 33 years, he said all he needed to say. He did all he needed to do. And he said, now, church, you take this mission. You take this mission and you matter to one another and you matter to your neighbors and you matter to the world. Now, I know, like Eutychus, some are still going to get marginalized and forgotten. And not every church has done a good job at addressing the needs of this world and the needs of one another. We place and forget about many people on the margins, in the corners, leaving them to sleep undisturbed. Oh, brothers and sisters, but I've read the book of Acts. The Holy Spirit is the great disruptor and will not allow the church to slide into lethargy. So I ask you, where are you in this story in Acts? Are you front and center, taking it all in, you know, like the leaders in Paul's day? Believe it or not, as a teenager, I was a church nerd. I loved going to church and never missed a moment when the doors were open, and I still feel that way. Is that where you are in this story? Or maybe you're like Paul, who has important things to say, and some would even describe your enthusiasm as contagious. Where are you located in this story? Are you like Eutychus, sitting off to the sides, drowsy with information overload? You know, there's a little bit of Eutychus in all of us, in every church. Our flourishment will not be because we have met budgets or bragging rights or adding programs to entertain our bored lives. Our flourishment will be because we are excited about being a part of God's change in our lives and the lives around us, because Paul took a sleepy, bored church and reminded them about resurrection. The resurrection is not simply the historical event of 2,000 years ago. It is the work of the church, where we're constantly reaching out to others and believing that there's still new life that God has for you and for others. God is about resurrecting and giving new life to sinners and saints, to youth and children, to elders at home alone, and to the singles, bored and disengaged, to the churchgoers and the church haters, to the God-fearers and the God-doubters. I cannot help but believe that resurrection means something, not just in history the books, but to humankind today and the people of this world and the people of Roswell and the people within these pews are looking to see, is there still some resurrection left in us? And I have to say yes, because church matters. Let me tell you how I know that it matters so much. I remember a time long ago when I was 12 years old and they came bearing casseroles and cakes and paper plates and folding chairs. The tiny house in front of the dairy barn was filled with folks from all over the countryside. My grandfather had died during the night quite unexpectedly, and word of his passing had spread out throughout the rural parts of Putnam County. I was 12 and confused and devastated, but I was comforted by all these older women who mothered me so lovingly in the days ahead. Solemn men wearing Liberty overalls stood outside in the yard kicking dust and telling stories that made me laugh and reminded me what a fine man my granddaddy was. That is church. And church matters. And then there was that time years later where I was the preacher, and there was, along with church members, we were surrounding this well-loved but now devastated middle-aged mother Her son had been arrested in the days before on drug charges. And so I went to the jail to visit that young man. And when they brought him out in handcuffs and sat him down to the table, and being clergy, I'm allowed more access than even his own family members. And I grabbed him by the hand, and he began to bawl out of shame and embarrassment and humiliation. And I assured him that our love was steadfast for him, that his family was not giving up on him, and neither was his church. That is church, and church matters. Or what about that Sunday where I was pastor of another congregation, and awkwardly we sang of this blended worship of contemporary praise and hymnals, and there was the praise choruses and drums and guitars and so forth, and the pipe organ as well. There was a guy in tattoos with a sleeveless shirt, and the tats ran all the way up to his ear. And I never will forget this image of him standing, holding the hymnal with this demure widow who was a bit uncertain about it all, but she loved the crowd that Sunday. And some people groused and complained because that's what happens in church, but I still carry with me that image of the big man with tattoos beside the little old lady holding a hymnal together. That is church, and church matters. Church can be incorrigible, it can be narrow-minded, church can be political and short-sighted, church can be disappointed and frustrated. I can say all of this because every institution I've been a part of has had those kind of things, including our family, as Jessica brought out in her own children's message. Often I've read about conversations about people giving up on church and leaving the church or never being part of the church in the first place, and I understand. I really do. I've wanted to storm out from time to time, and for all of the above reasons and more, I can just love Jesus on my own. Within my own walls, I say to nobody in particular. But it's helpful to remember that Jesus was a little frustrated with the religious community too. Yet he kept going. He kept worshiping alongside others. He kept challenging people to higher ways of knowing and being and doing. Jesus engaged the entirety of the community of faith, which include Pharisees and sinners, scribes and nobodies, tax collectors and harlots, with the unyielding hope that together in community, it's important to love one another and to love God and to love the neighbor. He even said the two greatest commandments are hinged on those two things. Everything else is commentary. So I need you to know that I need a place and a people to love and be loved. I need a place and a people to find my community. I need a place and a people to hold me accountable as we live out God's purpose and mission to the world. I need a place and a people to practice the faith in community in this world. Does church matter to you? You bet your life it does. Let's pray. Lord, there's so much that distracts us from seeing what really matters. Our prayer now is that you truly give us the eyes of Christ to see one another, not in all of our faults and brokenness, but to see one another as life that you have given, even everlasting life. This we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Our hymn of response comes out of 383, and I want to invite you to consider how you will respond this morning. This series is important to me because both as a pastor and in my work in the School of Theology, that's a question that comes up all the time. Sometimes folks from the Atlanta Journal-Constitution running articles and they'll call for a quote or a comment. It still comes down to what matters about all of this. So I want to ask you this morning, as you consider how you will respond, what that will look like. Now, for some of you, it is a response of salvation. Christ has entered into your life, and you want to profess that faith before your church family. And please come down, share that decision with me. We will celebrate it together. And for others of you, the response may be, and this is going to sound a little old-fashioned, so indulge me for just a moment. I'm just the interim hired help. You'll be done with me one of these days. But for some of you, the response may be, I need a place of prayer. That I need to get kind of refocused. Because you can have a lot of things in your life that matters really important, but church may be the Eutychus in your life that's off to the side. And so maybe this time of invitation is for you to just simply respond and pray with a minister. Just pray here at the steps of the pulpit or perhaps even at your pew. But for all of us, the hymn of response is beckoning us that when we walk past these doors, that this church, First Baptist Roswell, matters enough that we believe in the hope of resurrection, new life, to a world that is dying to know our answer. Let's stand together, let us sing together, and let us respond. Some time to pause for any guests or visitors or others that need to leave. I'll be glad to greet you on the way out the door. For all of us, I hope that you know you matter very greatly to me. And because we can matter to one another, I'm so confident about what's really going to matter in this waiting world. And now may the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance and give you his peace. And so, O God, we now go as a people of God in the peace of God. Amen.